Ray's going to hate every second of editing this show. I can already imagine. I am hosting today, and I've got to say, clearly I wasn't prepared.
That's if you want me to just like kick everyone off and just run this thing,
even better.
Just let me know.
Even better. Yeah, absolutely.
Send me a message. I'll do it. No worries. All this today, like, I will steal all of this. No problem.
That was the right idea. You wanted to just get Goose and I on.
The review was, bro, you guys were just going, it was you guys sitting there for like 50 minutes and then you're going, ooh. Oh.
Yeah, okay.
Ooh.
To be fair, I don't know anything. So if I was to...
Okay, yeah, that's, sorry. Sorry. You're normally, you're offended by combat sports. What are you talking about?
Catch Goose. <sir. laughs> I hate you.
You? Let us know whenever, yeah.
Oh, it's already started.
Oh, all right.
I'm scared to know when it started from.
So, boxing stuff.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, oh, right. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's all right.
So, what? You go ahead, Nat, Mr. Producer. Go on.
Because it's just all about me. Another day, cuz. Another day in paradise.
Aren't you supposed to introduce the show or something? Is that...
Something like that. But, hey. No, Ray's not here. So, it's a bit of free-for-all. No, yeah. No, I'm kidding. I will introduce the show.
Yeah, go.
Because I'm used to hearing the music in, like, in the background, like in the beginning. But there's no music, right? Yeah, Joe?
Correct.
All right, so there's no music. Here we are. All right, well, why don't we get the show on the road, as they say?
Go on.
Ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Have a Chat with Ray and Stat. Yes, I know. I feel like you're going to be a little bit upset because Ray's not here. I know he's the star of the show. But I've taken the hot seat. Ray is currently in America. He has graduated from Bible College, which is very encouraging. And yes, I'm not a good friend for not being there to see it. So yes, you can make your judgments in the comments. But he's gone to America, is also enjoying a bit of a holiday, a bit of time to just, while in America, just live it up a little bit, go to some places he hasn't been to yet. So I am hosting today. And I got to say, clearly I wasn't prepared. Joe did text me today. He's like, hey, bro, you still on for tonight? And I'm thinking, what's tonight? And it's the podcast. So here I am, fully prepped. We're just really comfy here, guys. It's just a comfy one today. I'm very excited because last minute call up, I got one of the OGs of our potty to jump on. So, Mick.
Bro, I can't even lie. I genuinely almost fell asleep. You just ran through the whole bloke's family tree. Ray's on a holiday. He's graduated. You dragged it. Listen, everyone, no one's upset as well, by the way. No one's upset that Ray's not here. Ray, I love you. Congratulations on your graduation. God bless you in your ministry and your zeal for the Lord. Everyone loves me, like, on this show. Like,
it's true.
This Yanni special feature upgrade. Special upgrade. Yes, Michael Hanna. I also go by Michael. And you can follow me on LinkedIn. And it'll be like on the screen there, Michael Hanna on LinkedIn. So you can find me there because I've deactivated everything else. So you won't be able to find me anywhere else. Actually, lie. Facebook, I'm there, but I've just deleted it. So I just won't see, if you say happy birthday, I'll just ignore you or something. So,
guys, what, you've spoken for 15 minutes, guys. Can't wait for falling asleep, bro.
Relax, okay, this bloke. Oh, so Ray's dad begat this bloke, then this bloke begat this bloke. You gave me Matthew 1, but like about Ray.
Yeah, here we go.
And you look a little bit of banter.
Hey?
Very comfortable, huh?
Bro, super comfy. It's the weather for it. It's raining, it's cold.
It's like 43 degrees in here.
Oh, look, in here it's a little bit warm, but that's why we've got the AC cranking. So we can definitely understand that. Guys, just remember to subscribe to our channel. Ray always really pushes, we have to subscribe and we have to really push the channel. Guys, you want to subscribe, you can. If you don't want it, it's okay. Like, I'm not gonna... No, I'm kidding. Ray will shoot me. I feel like Ray's judging me at the moment, even though he's not watching. But look, subscribe to the channel. Let's get the show on the road. Let's kick it off. But Mickey, thank you for jumping on last minute.
My pleasure. Yes, very last minute.
I know, because of your busy schedule, you're such a busy man, and you're such an important figure on LinkedIn and off LinkedIn, you know what I mean?
You know, bro, when you're a creator on a professional network like LinkedIn, it just gets a little, life gets busy.
Mm.
You know, my one post every 3 to 4 years whenever I change jobs.
Yep.
And just maintaining the notification I get that I appeared in 38 searches this week. Probably the most useless notification. LinkedIn is notorious. If you have LinkedIn, you know it is. Notorious for disgustingly useless notifications. I appeared in 38 searches this week. Mad.
Man, what does that do for us?
What does that mean? You're getting noticed. People, your post has 3,000 impressions. Mad. This work viewed your profile.
I don't remember asking.
When? The whole app is when.
It should just be when in. No.
You know what? Yeah, right.
It should just be when in.
Yeah, you're right. Right before this kicked off, we entered a very deep, controversial, sensitive topic about writing on the back of T-shirts.
Yep.
I think it's all right. I think that some T-shirts actually look good when there's writing on the back of them. But Nat over here is very zealous about his opinion otherwise.
Yeah. I have come to the conclusion, and look, I just want to say I'm very glad we're discussing this and Ray's not in the room.
Yes.
Because he really wanted to discuss this with me and I wanted to rob him of the privilege. So
he's been robbed.
Oh yeah. Oh, definitely robbed of the privilege. So. And I'm sure I think at another podcast that we do later on, he will come back to this topic because now he's available to talk about it. But I find writing or images on the back of T-shirts the dumbest thing ever. I find it so dumb. What it is for me is, if you can fit it on the front, why is it on the back?
Because it just looks cool. So tell me, if you see a phoenix on my back as I walk past you, as I smoke you on Church Street, heck, I walk past you, heck, boom.
Yeah.
And you see a phoenix on the back of my shirt, you're not going to be like, that's hectic.
I wouldn't care for it.
Yeah, but you'd notice it. See, there's a difference between caring and noticing. If it was a plain white T-shirt, you would not even notice it. If it was a plain white T-shirt with a red phoenix, Mal Hutt, yes, he does. If there was a red phoenix on the plain white T-shirt, you'd be like, I don't care for it, but I noticed it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it, but I'm well bringing it back to the fact that I think it's useless to be on the back of the shirt. If you get, like, for me, is if you can put it on the front, why not have it on the front? Okay. Now, don't get me wrong. I just want to state, I know you're a little bit worked up, but I just want to state and make it very clear. Yes, I do have some shirts that have stuff on the back of it.
Yeah.
I don't buy it for the stuff at the back of the shirt. I buy it because of the simplicity of it on the front.
Okay, can I ask, why is it more beneficial for it to be on the front than on the back?
Because what's the point of it being on the back? I find there's no point.
Okay, yeah, but what's the point of it being on the front?
If you're going to print something, you print it on the front of the shirt. When people look at you, they look at the front of your shirt.
But they also look at the back.
Yeah, but I don't care about... I don't want to look at people's backs. If I want to look at someone's shirt...
It's about what the person sees, not what you see.
Well, what I see is if I look at someone's shirt and I see at the front, it's mad. For me, it's pointless. Like, why am I wearing something that's on the back?
What if, like, the main thing's on the front and then it's just a cool graphic on the back about the thing on the front?
Why can't the graphic be on the front of the shirt?
Because the main thing, like, you don't want to take away the focus from the main idea of the shirt, right? Like, if it says Nathaniel.
Yeah.
And then there's a big drawing on the back with a bloke bald with a beard. Because it'll look weird. Yeah, you have Nathaniel there, then on the stomach you got your head. But if you have Nathaniel there, then on the back,
but why like can't it go? But why can't it go on like this side? So, for example, if it's my... Sorry, it's other way around. So, if I got my name here, why can't I put it on that side? Like, what do you mean it takes away? Like, I don't... See, that for me, I don't understand. I find, like, if you can just put everything in the front, chuck it on the front.
You have the name, you have the bloke, but if you have the name, someone talks to you, they go, oh, your name's Nathaniel. And then as you walk away, they go, aha, like you leave them with a little souvenir.
But why are they checking me out?
Because everyone just looks at people as they leave. No?
No, like, look, you're probably right. For me, I find it silly.
Anyway, point is you dragged it.
I'm not dragging.
Graphic teams are mad.
We didn't even talk about it for more than 10 minutes.
Okay, but sometimes they can go overboard, agree.
Oh, look.
But
yes.
Sometimes nice. It's nice.
It's nice. But I again, it's not about the image. It could be a cool image. But for me, it's kind of chuck it on the front. I don't look at your shirt. If I look at your shirt, I want to see what's on the front of it. I don't care what's on the back.
Mm.
That's for me. That's why I find it pointless. And yes, I'm re-clarifying. I do own tees that have stuff on the back. I look at it and I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, agreed.
Like, for example, let's give an example. I have a bloke shirt. I have many bloke shirts. But one bloke shirt I have says bloke, and at the back says Lebanese bloke. Why can't that be on the front? Like, if you've got bloke here, then just put Lebanese bloke here. Like, yeah. I wouldn't mind that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's how I kind of view it.
Well, look, I'm not the oracle of shirts.
Ah, but this is why we debate and we talk and we share opinions.
The point is, it looks all right on the back.
Right, depending on what it is.
Yeah, all right. So, the one other thing I'm very glad about pertaining to attire, accessories, and clothing is that you no longer wear your light blue, baby blue G-Shock, it seems.
Yes.
Give a flash of the wrist.
Yes.
There.
Oh yeah, I'm wearing a different J-Shock.
Dark blue.
It's a dark blue J-Shock. So,
but tell them of your recent purchase.
Okay, yes. Yes. Everyone's up for those. Up for those. Give me a round of applause. Thank you. Thank you. So I decided, I'm like, you know what? I think it's time that I get a shirt. Oh, a shirt. See, I'm still stuck on the shirt. My bad. I get a watch that's, you know, maybe a bit classier, a bit nice. Now I've got a lot of watches. They're all like baby blue, and it's fantastic.
All 17 of them are G-Shocks.
Yeah, all different G-Shocks, different colors. No drama Rooney's.
Different shades of baby blue. Yep.
That's true. Blue's favorite color of mine. Baby blue even better. Aqua blue, love it. Send it my way. Anything aqua blue, send it. But like, you know, you got me those earphones that we changed on the podcast. Yeah, aqua blue, love it. Favorite color. Moving forward. So I thought, why not seek the guidance of the man that hates the blue G-Shock the most? And why don't I get him to... and I think it was just a conversation. I'm like, oh, hey, bro, listen, just chatting. By the way, looking at getting a new watch. Because I don't spend money on watches that are like excessive over $200.
Yes.
Like the G-Shocks I've bought, $100-$150.
Yeah, right.
So I'm not one to be like, oh, I should spend big money on watches. But I'm like, you know, I need something nice. You know, let me find something super etoile. And I remember, I think I was just chatting with you, and I was like, hey, like, by the way, I'm going to get a nice watch. Maybe just for like church on Sundays and weddings and nice dinners, you know, mix it up. Change the flavor of that's in our mouth. And I thought, you know what? Why don't I speak to the guy that wanted to obliterate the blue G-Shock on our podcast?
Always.
And, yeah. And we had a discussion, and the first thing you sent me, and I fell in love with it.
It's a good one, eh? So it's simple. If you're a watch person, you'll be like, all right, bro, it's no Rolex, it's no Breitling, it's no Patek. First off, you dragged it, relax. No one has that money. And if you do, you're a poser.
That's true, yeah.
Probably not. If you're successful, congratulations, well done. Looking at Mark, walked out with 700 watches. Anyway. Yes, so it's a Thomas Hilfiger, also known as Tommy Hilfiger.
Tommy Hilfiger.
And it's a nice, clean black ceramic face.
Yeah.
Black band. Yes. Like black, clean. Mratab, like it looks nice and classy for Sunday church.
Yep.
Yeah, you can praise the Lord with your hands, and at the same time, you can watch the time and make sure Pastor Mansell doesn't go over. So it's very good. Mabruk, I'm very glad that it's arrived.
Yeah, today. Except I ordered it Sunday morning, came in today.
Very good.
It is Wednesday, my dudes. And we just have a lot of funny. And I came, I was like, really keen. I'm like, oh, finally, the watch came in. 3 days too long for delivery, if you know, you know. But come in, get it, put it on my wrist, and it just hung. And I'm like, man, this...
Oh, that bad?
Oh, like, it wasn't excessive, but it did hang a little bit off my wrist, to be fair.
Yeah, right.
So now I've got to get it, go to the shops and get it like... I don't know what the term is, but you get it like shrunk. To fit your wrist.
Oh, shrunkenization.
Sure, let's go with shrunkenization. Yeah. So, got to get the Tommy Hilfiger watch shrunkenization.
Yep.
And then that way, I'll be able to wear it. Look, maybe I'll wear it on the podcast one day. Haircut for feeling a little bit classy.
Ooh. Yeah.
Hey, quick haircut like this. Yeah, shrunkenization. Sure, I had the shoo.
Yep. Very
of course.
Good. Excellent.
But, So, I thought, you know what? And I spent, what, $300?
Mm.
Okay, I feel like anything in excess of $500 for a watch, personally, again, personal take. Don't come for my head. Don't tell me to wrap it up. I feel like it's excessive, but that's just my opinion.
Well, what's the benchmark? Sorry, 300 you said?
No. So I bought mine for 300.
Yeah.
I don't know anything 500 over. I think it's a bit of a waste for a watch. Yeah, right. Personally.
Yeah. Like, unless it's one of the ones that appreciate. Yeah.
Sorry.
Unless it's the watches that appreciate, like, you know, those.
Yeah. Of course. Well, that's different.
The rich people's ones.
The Rolexes, like the Mark Moon ones.
The Mark Moon ones.
Just call the Mark Moon ones.
Walk in, walk out. 73 watches.
Yeah.
Yeah, like quick,
just quick one,
that's good.
Yeah, so look, we are upgrading the world of watches. Mm-hmm. Clearly, Michael's talk and some of the comments that from that podcast and people had watched, like, oh man, you should change your watch. And
oh, really? People actually followed up with you?
Yeah, people followed because some of them obviously we have a bit of a fan base that actually watch our stuff, which again surprises me, but we do. And
well, it's just me on my 14 Google accounts, champ. Don't get too excited. I was every single comment.
That's true, you were. But hey, you know what? Still fans.
Yeah, that's good. I was also watching a video today.
Yeah.
Very funny. Very, very, very funny. I was hoping that actually we could pull it up, and I just want to show. I want to get your reaction, actually.
Okay. I haven't seen it. Well, what's the video?
So the video is... there was this, I think it was a woman that held up this 7-Eleven at gunpoint.
Sorry.
Why is there a K song on the screen?
the song? Anyway, sorry.
This woman is holding up 7-Eleven with a gun.
Yeah.
And it's a story about how this vigilante hero stopped her, took her down, and subdued her until the police arrived. And bro, the guy that did it is a full crackhead. But let me, bro, it's so funny.
All right, let's pull it
you
up.
Have it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's called most Australian interview ever.
Yes. All right, let's give it a whirl. Play.
It's so funny.
When Nick Zeglinas went into his local 7-Eleven store for his daily coffee, he walked straight into an unfolding armed robbery.
Now they're standing here with a gun. Down, everybody down, you down.
A woman in a motorbike helmet was allegedly waving a gun and demanding money. Nick says he made a split-second decision.
Land! Aha! Go for glory, you know? Like a try.
With the accused pressed against the counter, 7-Eleven franchisee Ricky Yan called police.
When I saw the gun, I was just being scared, very scared.
He'd been about to hand over hundreds of dollars before Nick's unexpected tackle.
Now I'm trying to get him over there because I'm wondering if they might shoot.
Nick says he grabbed the gun, which that's turned out to be a fake, and threw it to the floor before a second manoeuvre.
I did my MMA around the head. Tackle! And that's it, hang on.
His iron tight grip only interrupted by police 5 minutes later, who arrested the woman. Store owners Ricky and Audrey thankful for their loyal customer.
He is very, very brave and very appreciated. Thank you, Nick.
Ricky and Nick have been friends for 6 years, and Ricky says he's grateful for Nick's dramatic intervention after a spate of armed robberies and thefts from the store. This afternoon, Emily Beck faced court on 8 charges, while Nick Zeglinas returned to get his coffee. Currie-Anne Greenbank, 9 News.
This is...
MMA?
Yeah, yeah.
And how he just drops himself to the ground, around the head. I love how he called it MMA, but...
Guys, it was a little joke call. Calm down.
Around the head.
Around the head. Boom. Drop.
The way he hits the deck, but bro, that's so funny. Bro. I was crying.
But what do you mean that this guy is like they've been friends for 6 years? Bro, I would have thought this guy is just a pure crackhead off the street. I just walked in 7-Eleven to get his $1 coffee.
Straight out of Campbelltown Housing Commission.
Straight out of Housing Commission. Yeah, straight out of Campbelltown Housing
Rocked
Commission.
Rocked up on his scooter.
That is unbelievable.
Right, it was. I just wanted to share it because I thought it was a tremendous laugh. Very funny.
But I want to appreciate the commitment shown by the guy to actually show what he's done and then to drop.
Yeah.
That's fantastic commitment.
Grabbed the gun. Threw the gun. Did my MMA.
But,
round the head.
But why was he charging at the counter? Like, I understand.
Go for glory. Bro, it was so funny, bro. Aussies, like the. I also watched this little, what's it called? Like this little, not skit, like show by Gabriel Iglesias. Iglesias. And he was talking about how like Aussies just don't care, and that like is the one place in the world that he's gone where if like political correctness is like the least of their care.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But bro, it's the interviews, the funniest interviews. I remember those two Lebo blokes as well on the project.
Oh. Yeah,
I don't know if that's probably not.
No, look, I don't think
bro. Just the funniest interviews always come out of like 7 or 9 News.
Yeah, yeah, and they just find the most random, like it's one of those like you get the ones like there's so many that pop up, but the ones where like they'll say, "Oh, what are you gonna do today?" and then one guy will just be brutally honest, like, "Oh, I'm just gonna go get wasted," or "I'm just gonna go buy some alcohol and just get tanked," and we're just like, bro, calm down.
It's live on 7 News.
Live on 7 News on the Today Show at like 6:30 in the morning, no one watching. But he somehow makes it later on.
Bro, I miss Ready Steady Cook. Staying home from school.
Oh.
Ready Steady Cook. Judge Judy.
Yes, yes.
Oh.
Dr. Phil?
Oh, was that on though? Oh,
like 12:31 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, Phil. Was it? Okay, Judge Judy and Ready Steady Cook, bro.
Oh, yeah, talk team. To you.
Listen. What team were you on Ready, Steady, Cool?
So there's tomato and capsicum, right?
Yes.
Oh, man. I want to say I was capsicum.
If you're team capsicum and you follow me on LinkedIn, block me and delete every piece of information you have about me. Team tomato was goated. Yeah, yeah. No, go on.
Keep. So I'm just on my phone quickly. Yeah. Just so people don't think I'm confused. I don't want to be here. I am here. I am here. But I am now going to block you because I'm a Capskin guy.
Very good.
I apologize.
Team Tomato, always. I think Jordan's with me on that. I don't even know if he watches this. But if you watch this, Jordan, Team Tomato, of course, the Brotherhood, Unbreakable Bond, and Judge Judy. Bro, I saw this case where it's in Judge Judy. This girl is accusing these two guys of robbing her, like they stole her handbag.
Yeah.
And Judge Judy goes, I don't know, you might have seen it. And Judge Judy goes, what was in your handbag? What would you estimate the value of the items in your handbag? And then she goes, oh, well, I had $50 in cash. I had my phone. I had this bank card. And she goes, I also had another. No, she said, then she goes, I had $150 in cash. And the other guy goes, who's the defendant? He goes, ma'am, there was not $150 in cash. He just incriminates himself. Everything else was there, not the $150. And then she just, Judge Judy starts dying. She starts laughing.
Bro, Judge Judy is the best show.
It is. It's very, very up there. Very up there.
Got us through our sick days in school.
Mm-hmm.
Look, and I've got to say, there is still a massive loyal fan of ours. And Peter Wolski. Oh,
yeah, I've seen him wear her. He has shirts with her face on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I bought him the shirt.
Okay.
Like, it says, only Judy can judge me.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
It's good. Excuse me. And then it has like, it's like her head, it's like 10 images of her head, but one of them saying like baloney or like that's ridiculous or yeah, like over her head. Yeah, it's I got to say, it's probably one of my best purchases.
That's excellent.
I've given to someone. I got to throw that out there. But Judge Judy, top tier show.
The other one as well, I don't know. This was like an evening thing.
Oh,
alongside MasterChef, My Kitchen Rules, there was also Deal or No Deal, which was like at
5:30 p.m. Oh, Deal or No Deal at 5:30 with Andrew O'Keefe.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, bro.
I don't know if that's his name, but yeah, sure, that bloke. But there's this one video in particular. You already know what I'm going to say. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen it. I think it's called The Unluckiest Bloke in the History of Deal or No Deal. And of course, it's Ozzy. I won't say anymore. If you have it, bro, that'll be tremendous. Listen, I tried finding it on YouTube. I couldn't find it.
Can I do a quick confession? So this actually, again, we're talking about Jordan. That is one of the funniest videos I've ever watched with Jordan. Every time we send it, we used to laugh all the time.
Amazing.
And we found out it got deleted and we were depressed. Like, we would Google search, YouTube search. We were so cut. I'm not joking. Maybe about 5 or so weeks ago, maybe a tad longer, we were talking about the video again. And we're laughing, like, oh, that's the funniest video. Telling Peter about it. And we're just having a laugh about it. And then Jordan's brother, Billy, was there. Billy goes, boys, the video's back on YouTube.
No way.
We said, what are you talking about?
Because I remember sharing it on Facebook, and then it got taken down, like, years ago.
the best video. Oh.
The part that breaks my heart is that he's not even surprised. Anyway, just let it play.
Hello. I'll play right now. Play.
So sad. Start a GoFundMe, bro.
Straight up.
50?
750, says Mary. In six is...
It's the first case.
So can you rotate the phone? Start. Maybe that is
fantastic start. Yeah, magnificent.
Yes.
Five paces with which to recover.
11, thank you.
I think I've got $10,000.
Oh, hang on. That's what we're after, Laura.
Oh, I believe I've got 10 grand.
All right. Yeah, 10 it is. Or is it? Oh!
Why was it start?
Hit him with the 50, the 75.
Number 24.
200.
I think I've got $50.
Nothing green, please, Tom. It's...
Oh! And it's over to...
Final warning, stay down. Have you seen that Iron Man?
I am very unlucky.
I guess we're about to find out if you are Australian.
And the grass clapping for him and the interview for the
way at this point.
The contestants transpires to put me on television and then let me lose all this money. Just to show how unlucky I am.
Harami knows.
Let's get behind Josh, everyone. We've got to keep... in play if we want to leave with 10.
Oh, yeah.
Three blues here would help.
Number one.
Good luck, Josh. I think I have $500.
Laura, going $500.
Zoe, can you find out how many cases are there in Deal or No Deal? I want to calculate the probability of that happening, bro.
So there's
let me get my calculator up.
So there'd be, wouldn't there be 26 cases?
Are there 26?
Yeah, it's 26 cases. And obviously in the beginning, guys, why are you still playing?
26, you are correct.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Thanks, Joski. Close player, my goodness. So there's 26 cases. Obviously in the beginning of the show, they pick one. The contestant will pick one. And then he'll go through, he goes six cases, then they get to a figure, then five cases, then four, then three, then two, then ones, up until they decide.
Bro, as a percentage, someone correct me if you're good at, if you have a maths major or something and you're hectic, correct me. But the way I calculated this, so he has a 1 in 26 chance of hitting the 200.
Yep.
And then a 1 in 25 of the next, a 1 in 24 of the next.
And a 1 in 23 until he gets to the car.
As a percentage, so not as a decimal place, as a percentage, he has a 0.0002% chance of that happening. And that of the poor bloke goes, yeah, show you how lucky I am. Everyone's like,
yeah. Everyone, yeah. Here comes up on the dancing room.
And then he's like, number, bro, he went from 18, 22, 23, 20. All right, fine. One.
And then that was one.
Yeah, all right.
And it ruined him. No, I love.
I'm so keen to find out what his final number was that he got. Because I'd be happy if he got like the, you know, the car or the 30, but definitely didn't. Probably got like the max the dollar. Max.
Bro, the crazy thing to me is that the first six cases, he eliminated the three greens, then the car, then it was the 50K and 25K, or 25, then 10, or 15. I think how he kind of how it was numbered. I missed it now on the video, but the top six best gone. I remember the offer. The offer was 50 cents.
Oh, wait. It continues and he misses out on the car and everything as well.
He misses everything. But the problem is that video only clips him missing the big three in the first year. Because it was a screen recorded clip. The best clip on YouTube ever, bro. It's Australian TV.
Bro, it's so good.
Another show I loved, and it sounds really dumb, that I'm not joking, I popped up on my TikTok feed the other day. Huey's Cooking Adventures.
Oh, that fat bloke with the mustache.
Yeah. Fat bloke with the Mo, Huey.
Oh, wow.
Cooking. It popped up on my TikTok the other day, and I went, oh, my, he's still going.
Is he?
He's still going.
He's alive.
Hey?
He's alive.
I saw a TikTok like he had posted like 3 days before. It was this clip. Unless it must have been like a rerun. But let me pull it up.
He's alive and on TikTok.
That's what I saw.
It's another topic that while you're on TikTok, but we won't get into that, though.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, no. I don't have an account. I just have the app.
What? But you have to have an account to use it, don't you?
Huh? No. No. Look, if you want an account to save your videos easier, you can make an account in that. No, I'm very old school, cuz. I just have the app for what it is.
Old school.
I have what it is, and if I like a video I want, I save them. They all are Queso videos, the big ginger streamer. I find these videos, I laugh, bro.
Yeah.
That's all my feed is. It's just him and now Huey's Cooking Adventures.
That's hectic.
So yeah, bro, he's still alive, he's still kicking from what I've seen on TikTok. But again, I'm very
do you always remember Dr. Harry?
Dr. Harry?
The guy that wore that. What do you call that? That flat hat that isn't really a hat. What do you call those ones? Like the golf ones. Do you know what I'm talking about? The old guy, and then they'd give him his dog and be like, oh, my dog isn't listening to me when I tell it to sit. And then he'd go take it away, and then he'll bring it back to the owners fully trained. And they go, oh my goodness. Well, but really the bloke was just belting it behind the scenes probably. But like,
yeah, probably. I've never heard of this show.
Nah, he was like, bro, he was very good with Cleb. Very good with Cleb.
Really?
And he would full train them. Like, they wouldn't be able to, say, clean their dogs, or their dogs would never listen to them. And he'd go take them. And he was this really old bloke, Dr. Harry, and he would fix the problem and then just bring them back fully trained in, like, 2 weeks.
Nah, I've never seen it. I've never heard of it. This actually
he probably just brought, like, a new trained dog and just...
Yeah, yeah. Excuse me, yeah.
Reminds me of a story. I know a bloke... I'm just mentally checking if I can say this.
Oh boy.
I can. I know a bloke who had a dog. Some of you might know who this is. Yeah, you actually might know who this is. You might know who this is. He had a dog, and this dog was the love of his life. Like, as in, don't misunderstand me. He really loved this dog, and he always played with the dog, and, you know, he came home from school, really enjoyed training the dog and whatever. One day when he was at school, the dog ran out onto the street. It's actually not funny, this part. And the dog got hit by a car. And the dog died. You
all right? No, I'm just... Yeah, continue. Okay. Sorry. I thought I was heading to a different story, but...
Do you know this? Do you know this story? Do you know who this is?
No, so far I don't.
Okay.
So far.
So, in that same day, they got a dog of the exact same breed as parents... Exact same rough age, named it the exact same name.
They told me.
Brought it back before he got home. He still has no idea.
What do you mean? What? What do you mean?
He still has no idea. He has no clue his actual dog's dead. Like, for, like, you know, RIP, of course, but like for the last, like, I think it's been like 7 years now, he's been, bro, he's been with a counterfeit.
7 years?
Yeah. Now it's just fact. Now it's more of that dog than that dog was because it's been alive longer than that dog. You know what I mean?
So you mean to tell me in the moment that the dog passed away, they grieved and whatever, and in that same hour bought a replica dog?
Incredible. Incredible reactionary time. Unbelievable, bro. Heck, die. Bye. Deep. Tap on the FPOS machine. Deep. Home. This is your name.
Woof, woof.
Mum, the dog doesn't know any of the tricks I taught it. What happened? I don't know. He just forgot.
Come on, bro.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy talk.
So till now.
Look, it might not be anymore, but like at least like 2 years after the fact.
No.
I knew that he hadn't known.
Was this the brother of... Was it a brother? I'm not trying to guess who it is. I promise I'm not trying to guess who it is. I'm trying to make the story up in my mind.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know who it is. I genuinely got zero. I feel like if
some people that tune in, because they say my name, they're obviously going to tune in, right?
Yeah, of course. Superstar.
They might. Superstar. What can I say? I'm filming over here, brother. Big superstar.
Guys, brother, who was that? Records.
You actually might know who it is. But yeah, bro, that's just a wild, wild story. Actually, I don't know if you could say this. You had a story about of someone's dog. Sorry, I don't even know. No. Let me just think if it can be said.
if I know what it is.
Yeah, it's that. Can you or you can't?
I can't say that.
That's haram. Because look, please don't misunderstand me, or I'm not trying to be rude. I've never had a dog, so I can't relate. Because people get very upset, obviously. I know, Joey, you probably would. And yeah. Ray definitely would, because it becomes like a very good mate of yours, and because they have more emotions and whatnot. Yeah.
I'm gonna say I don't own pets.
I don't know how it feels.
So I would never laugh at someone's dog dying, because I wouldn't be able to know how to relate to them. But I don't think it's funny, because I know to them it means a lot. It's more of a, like you said, a companion.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're not laughing at the fact that these dogs are dying and that. But Mohum, continue.
Mohum, yeah. So moving on from the topic of dogs, I do prefer dogs. I've had like 20 cats in my time, throughout my younger days and years, we've had like 20 cats. Bro, once our cat, she became feral, like full feral. And like by definition, like she full hated us, and every time she'd see us, she'd scratch us and try to hurt us. So we took her to a park, but that's besides the point. That's incriminating, isn't it?
Sorry, the way you ended it was, it sounds very incriminating. You took it to the park and you did what? You left it there. Okay. You left it at the park.
Because it went feral. Like, what are we supposed to do? Like, every time we'd come home, it would jump out from the bush, like Spanian, and just start scratching us. But it was a Spanian cat. You know his bush maneuver that he talks about?
Yes.
His cat would sit in the bush, wait for us to come home, and jump out from amongst the bushes and just start absolutely annihilating our legs.
Oh, well, then it has to go.
So much so that I would start bleeding. So we're like, heck, local park, food in boot, jump in, close, 1 minute drive, don't stress. 1 minute drive, open the boot. All right, take it easy, brother. Mal salami.
Here's the food.
Here's the food. Good luck out there. But this cat, before she went feral, her name was BC. BC. A lot of you know BC. We just were very lazy with the name, so... We named it BC.
So you named the cat?
We named the cat. We named the cat. Literally.
That's it.
But while she was a young, bright, spring young, lovely female cat, she decided to have many children. And she gave birth in this little, I can't even explain it. So there were these three hedges in our neighbor's backyard in a very tight space on the side of it. And deep within, like this, the concrete wall and the hedges, at the very end, she had six kittens just in the corner on the mulch. Mm. And I was 11, so I was small enough to crawl in and go grab them. And so I'm grabbing them one by one and passing them to Angie, these little baby kittens, bro. They were so cute. And then I was waiting to see which one looks the best because I'm going to claim it. And then I found one that I thought looked like Simba, so I called it Simba. And I go, Andrew, this one's mine. Simba. Anyway, I give it to Andrew. Now, our neighbor had a dog. His name was Sonny. Again, some of you know Sonny. Absolute OG. He's passed away now. The dog passed away. But, bro, amazing dog. Like, yeah? Almost like a human. It was crazy. They trained it for like 20 years.
It's a long time to train.
Anyway. So I pass my kitten, Simba, to Andrew. As I give it to Andrew, Sonny comes and clenches his mouth on the kitten. Yeah, but he's not hurting it. I need to just clarify for you so you don't...
Oh, start. Okay.
He's holding it, but he's holding it tight, and it's squealing, like, what are you... Like, let me go, akhi, like, shamil ne, like, you know what I mean? And then, like, let me go, bro, like, and it's squealing, haram. And so Sonny starts running. And then Mick, our neighbor, he comes out. Yeah, he's like... Permanently shirtless. Great. Love him. Top boy. Hey, Sonny, down. And it's, bro, the dog's not even listening to him. And so he goes, boom, bro. He sends this mad thunderclap, but smacks the dog in the face and then drops Simba. And Simba, I don't want to, Simba, I love you. And then he was a little bit, he was very distraught. He wasn't bleeding or anything.
He was just in shock.
He was in shock. And then... we took him back and we couldn't keep up with them, bro. As they got bigger, there was, I think there were 7, 8 of them, and we couldn't keep up with them. So we called RSPCA, said, hey, do you guys mind coming and taking them? To which I found out sadly later that if no one takes them within a certain time frame, they lethally inject them. Far out, this is turning very sad.
Yeah. We're having laughs about Dylan O'Deal and people losing money, and now we're talking about...
Anyway, let me wrap this up with one last sad part.
Okay.
We decided to give away all the, to give RSPCA the females and keep Freddie. JJ named it Freddie. It was the only male in that litter. And
how many were in the litter?
Like 8.
Okay.
So there were 7 girls that, and then we kept the Freddie because we just didn't want him to have like babies.
Mm.
It's a bloke. And so, yeah, so we kept Freddie, and then, bro, this is so sad. We kept him outside on the first day and he died. To the neighbor's cat.
What do you mean? Not to the
neighbor's? Neighbor's cat killed him.
What a mutt.
Yeah. So what we did, don't worry, there's vindication here. You know how, like, we full took vengeance for him. So Stephen had a very high-powered BB gun. We learned.
Yeah.
We loaded it up. Don't worry, I know you're distraught right now. Just listen. We loaded up the BB gun. We hid. We knew exactly which cat it was because it looked evil.
Oh.
And then it was like it was a big fat Garfield looking one. And then as soon as it came back to our backyard, and then we were sitting outside and Steven gets the baby gun and he aims and he's like, oh, bro, he sprayed it like 4 or 5 times and it's like jumping in pain. And then it sprinted and me crying because I'm angry.
Oh.
I was so angry. So I grabbed the newspaper and I rolled it up and I'm running after it. And I actually cornered the cat in a neighbor's front yard. And out of frustration, I just started swinging, but I missed it and it ran between my legs and then we never saw it again. So now, as a conclusion, I will never own a pet ever again.
Well, yeah, that's a tea-joker right there. As you can see, I'm trying to withhold some tears, but... So you've owned... So clearly you're not a great owner if you've, a lot of these pets that you've had have passed away or...
Bro,
I've had to go.
Do you mind if I... Can I give you one more?
Of course you can. Cuz, hey.
Listen, click... Fast forward 6 minutes if you don't want to hear this, but... less. I'll make it 3.
All right. Monkey explain. No, it's that time.
So we had... We wanted chickens. Me, Andrew and Stephen, my brothers and I. Mm-hmm. We wanted chickens. We went to, I forgot where we went, but you know those cute little incubators and you see those little baby chicks and they're walking around, bobsledding.
Oh, yeah.
Squawk, buck. Oh, yeah, squawk, relax. Anyway.
Squeak.
We asked for three. And, bro, he had these cute, the guy that owned the place, he had these cute tongs and he gets the tongs and he puts them in these little, I think he put it in like a container, the three chicks. They were so cute. I picked mine. Mine was the white one. I called it Fluffy. Andrew chose the brown one. He called it Pecker because it liked to peck. Creative. And then
super.
The last one was Stevens. He couldn't think of a name. We got home, and what we noticed was the guy gave us a defect chick.
Oh.
So this third one, Stevens one, it's so sad.
So he keeps saying it's so sad, and he's trying not to laugh.
No, it's haram thinking about it, bro. It's a coping mechanism. Bro.
Yeah, yeah, like, no, that's what that is.
It's bum. Was actually clogged, so it crapped and then it sat on its own poo and then the poo dried up and it blocked its bum. Like, I'm being full serious.
Okay.
So it couldn't go to the toilet anymore, and so it couldn't excrete, and so we tried to soak its like bum in warm water and try to get the dried crap off with tweezers, and it was not coming off. It wasn't coming off. So we named him Survivor because we're like, you're going to get through this, brother. You're going to survive.
Come on, bro.
So my dad, Haram, is sitting there meticulously, surgically trying to, you know, work away at this baby chicken. And then it's screaming. It's bah! Bah! Like that, exactly like that. Bah! Like that. And it's screaming every time we try to put, and it wasn't coming off. So much so that because of all its screaming, it had a heart attack and died. And I went into the bathroom and cried. I watched it die, and I went into the bathroom and cried. I was like 9.
Oh my goodness!
It was so sad, and then we put it in the red bin or something. What are you supposed to do with it?
Because for Survivor, you don't do that.
We had a ceremony,
and then you put him in the red bin.
We didn't know what to do. We put it in the red.
You buried in your backyard.
Oh, actually, that's a full good point. But then, wouldn't it come up with a smell?
Look, potentially.
Anyway, look, I'm so sorry. No more animal sad thoughts. Especially if you're a pet owner, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I don't want to make you uncomfortable. Anyway, moving on.
I'm not a pet owner. I'm a little bit uncomfortable, I've got to say. There was actually a time, now we're talking about animal stories. I've, never owned a pet.
Mm.
We just used to have a bunch of cats in the backyard.
Yeah.
Bro, there couldn't be a day where I'd come home from school and I'd want to practice my bowling technique in cricket and peg the ball at my very broken down shed. And every time I'd hit the shed, I would see, I'm not joking, 3 kittens just run out and then go, and I'd never see them again. I never fed it. I never took care of these kittens. I didn't care for cats.
Housing commission kittens.
Yeah, probably. I wasn't even living in housing commission. That's all. That's what kind of spun me out. But I had a lot of kittens. I never had a hose, but that's a story for another time. My hose kept getting stolen, but I think but all I know is that any time that kittens were there, but I would rage. I hate cats.
They're not that ugly.
I hate cats.
Oh, okay.
I just hate them.
What is it, a phobia, or you get angry?
No, I've got a phobia. I'm not scared of them.
Oh, relax, be scared tough guy.
I'm not scared of him. I don't like cats. Like you said, your preference is if you had to choose between having a pet and be a dog.
Yeah.
You said that earlier. Yeah,
this is true.
Yeah,
is true.
I'm the same. Not that I would ever own one, but if I did, it would probably be a dog.
Yeah.
Cats aren't fun.
Mm.
So then what I would do, obviously being 8, 9 years old, I'd just, instead of practicing my bowling, I'd just get the tennis ball and just try pick it at the cats.
You're a grog.
Yeah, it sounds very, very harmful. But there was a time we saw a bird. Like, I feel like something happened to the bird who was injured, and we thought, well, a bird's injured, this, you know, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm not big on animals. So I was like, all right. And we had a lot of milk crates in our backyard. I don't know why. My backyard back in the day was pretty crazy. I had a massive mango tree, had a lot of milk crates lying around. Had a little a little garage where back in the day my shuddo Ali Hamel used to go and cut people's hair. Whatever. Kind of like a lot of old school stuff, but for some reason we always had a lot of milk crates. So I thought, you know what? What I'll do is I'll get the milk crate and I'll put this bird in the milk crate.
Okay.
And I'll figure out what to do. But I didn't have just have one milk crate. I had like three or four. So heck, I'm young. I'll put them on top of each other. Heck, I'll give it a bit of shelter. And obviously, looking back now, here I am thinking, wow, I'm taking care of this bird. And something happened. Like I feel like something happened to one of its, you know, one of its wings. I'm like, that's fine. So I'll take care of it, whatever. And I tried to like, in the freezing cold weather, I tried to put like a sheet over the milk crate so they wouldn't get cold. And I'm like, hey, because it'll probably be shivering and like it's injured, whatever. And I thought, hey, I'll come in the next morning and then I'll try to see like what the status update is on it. So I wake up the next morning, get ready to go to primary school, GBCCS, Greenacre Baptist. Oh, if you good. Know, you know. And I go outside and I want to go check up on this bird. The bird is completely dead.
Not dead. Completely dead.
Completely dead. Gone. So like, and I freaked out and I was like, all right, but I don't understand. I didn't give anything.
You were angry at the bird.
Yeah, but I'm thinking like, Kaz, why are you dead?
For dying.
Kaz, why are you dead? I've given you shelter. I've given you somewhere to like, you know, kick back, relax and, you know, get through the pain, but clearly you're weak. And
do you know why?
Don't. Hey?
Do you know why it died? Or how?
No.
Oh, you actually have no idea?
I have no idea.
Like, was it just heck?
Yeah, yeah. So like, I found the reason, I tried to poke it and I'm like, this is broken, Kaz. Like, what's wrong with this? Dead.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I think that's when it came, dawned upon me that in a very dumb moment, I tried to take care of it, which clearly didn't work out. I thought, you know what? Maybe I'm not suited to have a pet.
Yeah, I agree. I think you'd do poorly.
Yeah.
That's not even an insult to you.
No, no, no. I would do poorly.
Yeah, I think either you'd accidentally sit on it, you'd accidentally forget to feed it for 6 weeks.
Yeah, I feel like
it would just die.
For me, it'd be like, oh, my bad.
Yeah.
I've got this animal lying around. Like, that's just how I am.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, look, let's forget it. Let's move on from... dying,
I feel like any time we talk with you or your brother, he comes here, we talk about animals.
Yeah, sorry.
Don't we always get down to animals.
That's all
right. We get an animal talk.
But
to bring it back to, because we start talking about Dr. Harry, because we're talking about Aussie TV.
Yeah.
And everything else. Look, I got to say, I grew up on, obviously as we all did, grew up on Aussie TV when we were sick.
Yes.
Bro, I loved play school back in the day.
That's the one show I would rather, like, as a six-year-old having no idea what any of the world news meant, like, whenever 7 News would come on and they'd be like, inflation's 7,000,000%, and I'd be like, what is a percent? Like, back in those days, I would rather watch, like, the news than play school. I hated play school so much.
Okay.
As soon as it came on with that stupid intro song.
There's a bear in their chair as well. People with the game stories to tell.
Oh, you stop.
My bad. I'll stop.
I can't stand it.
No, I won't continue.
So, whoa, I full hated it back then. I full hate it now.
Yeah, I know. You're getting angry to his horse has me for a
yeah.
second.
Yeah. like Ray, it is fine.
The one that he lost.
Sorry, Ray. He watches these, eh?
Yeah, I think he watches them sometimes. Yeah,
I thought he just edits them. Wait, which means he watches it.
Oh, yeah, he's gonna have to watch it at some point.
I couldn't stand that show, but yes.
Not fair. Okay, that's fine. Play school was a hit for me. Wiggles, old school Wiggles, mate, love them. I love them now. But these new Wiggles that come in, like the guy,
you know, like two of them. Sorry, to cut you off, by the way. Sorry, the two of them are barbers at my uncle's barbershop.
What do you mean?
He cuts their hair.
Okay, see how I understood it was. That two of the people in the Wiggles are barbers.
Oh, no.
I was about to say, hang on a sec, because that can't be real.
No.
Yeah, I was going to say, one of them's from Justice Crew.
No, he cuts their hair.
Oh, he cuts their hair?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's what I meant.
Okay. Oh, that makes sense.
Sometimes, bro, they'll give him, like, because they're members at, like, a high-level member at the Crown, which means they gamble a lot. If you're under 18, you're not sure. They give him, like, they get... Because the Crown want to keep them entertained and make them feel like, hey, we really value you. Keep giving us your money. They give him like 2-3 free nights a year. And some of his customers just give it to him. They just give him the free nights at the Crown. So like twice a year he'd go with his wife. 2 nights, 3 nights at the Crown. Just kick it.
What do you mean? That's mad.
Yeah. And here I am. I'm lucky to get a $50 motel. On a weekend away.
Abbas Hill.
Abbas Hill, yeah. Ridges, bro. Wow.
Ridges. Heck, bro, the views of Macca's next door.
Wow.
Imagine open the window of your place.
Go on.
Open the door.
Yep.
It's just Macca's, bro.
Macca's on the left. Vet across the Hume Highway. Every single straight piped crawler driving past you, going 40. And then, bro, you got Frocks and Gowns on the corner.
Yes,
and way out to the right down there, you got Hungry Jack's.
Talk about
culture.
And a little bit of a sneaky Boston donut.
Decent.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Solid.
Basil, no, don't plug them, but.
All right.
Boston donut's very good.
Yeah, cracker.
Anyway, sorry. So no more animals. Yes, no more animals.
Noted. Yeah. We've moved off from the animal topic.
I'm very excited, by the way. I don't know if anyone watching is going to the leadership conference.
Yes. Yes.
Very excited. I think so. We've had CNS, which is phenomenal. And we have like all these different conferences. But bro, leadership, there's just something about leadership conference that is just beautiful. Now, last year, I didn't know this, but you're supposed to rock up looking nice. Like everyone there was either in a suit or like a coat with a button up. I had my Christ Alone jumper. So everyone thought I was going to bomb the place. But then they read Christ Alone and then they were like, all right, like passable. So if you're going to come, pack a button-up shirt and a nice jacket. Yep. Otherwise, you'll get judged hard.
Profusely, yes. Also, just get ready to eat Macca's about 4 times that week because...
Everything closes at 1 p.m.,
yeah. If you're lucky, maybe 3 p.m. But that's one of my favorite conferences of the year. Probably my favorite conference of the year where we go. A few of us boys drive up to Brisbane. I know people fly, that's okay. You know, still cool too. But we go, we drive, we enjoy the drive up. We go, see under some great preaching.
Yep.
And by men, like incredible speakers. Pastor Shemish, Kurt Skelly, Pastor Doug Fisher. You know, he was someone that was sick for a while and we saw his name on the what's it called?
The prayer bulletin thing.
Yeah, the prayer bulletin. And I saw it and I went, nah, no way. Doug Fisher's coming for this. Because I know he's been a bit ill and everything. And I saw that, like, nah. Because I went to his church in America. Like, I got to visit his church when I was there. Yeah.
What's it like there? Bro, you know, I saw a stat on the churches in America. And it was like, oh, I don't want to get this wrong. But, like, they compared it to, like, mosques and synagogues and places of worship. And they even compared them to, like, how many fans there are for a certain sport. And there were hundreds of thousands of churches across America, bro. There are so many. I didn't realize. There are so many. There's so many that it's like one every few kilometers equivalent of churches.
Oh, yeah. I can't sit here and confirm. I can't say I've really paid attention to like the specific.
Yeah, I'm not saying you counted, bro. Relax.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. Yeah, like
I'm saying there's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot. Why are you attacking me, guys?
Lock me up and throw away the key.
No, I'm just guys.
Sorry, so whole very different note.
All right. But Leadership Conference, Queensland.
Yeah, very good. Very
we'll chuck some info on there. Excited. I'm sure Ray will, as he edits this and watches this, and he'll.
Yeah, 100%. But bro, I think I might have mentioned this to you, but not too long ago now. So if you're from anywhere in inner Western Sydney, inner west, whatever, you know, the anything postcode related that starts with a 2-1 for the most part, you would have your own local crackhead. And so this person is someone who walks around the main strip of shops, you know, the main congregational areas and whatnot. And would beg for food or, you know, whatever. They'd go around and ask you for $2. And you know them by name most of the time because they're always there. So there's this new one that's been around at Chester Hill for a while. But he's tall. He's like 6'4", bro. Like, if you're using the imperial system. Stop. But, yeah, anyway, the metric. Yeah, when you, okay, 6'4", what's that, like 190?
Yeah, 194.
Oh, really, is it? Oh, actually, that sounds about right. 193 and 194, very tall. And he loves to converse with himself. Anyway, I noticed that he always asks people questions and then he'll ask a question and he'll just keep walking. And then anyway, I came back from work and I get off at my station, Chester Hill, surely enough. And he comes up to me and he stands right in front of me. I just stop it. I look up at the bloke, Mittel Bayi. I look up at him. And he goes to me, oh, I know you did it. I know you murdered him. Like that. That's what he says to me. And I'm like, How'd you know?
And then, how bored are you?
And then he goes, oh, I knew it was you. And then he quickly like backs away from me and then he just starts sprinting right as far as he can from me.
Guys, you just have to poke him that yeah. It's fine, it's entertaining. You gotta poke the bear a little
but
bit.
But there are so many. Like there was one indigenous lady. I got off at Chester Hill. And so when you get off, the stairs are on your right. You have no reason to look left.
Mm.
Me being of low IQ descent, I look to my left first, then look to my right. I had no reason to look left because looking left is nothing. It's just the end of the platform. But I look to my left and there's this lady that's putting the finger up at me. But before I even got off, so she has her hand up. Before I even get off, just like gambling on who's, oh, is someone going to look or something. I get off and I get off looking like that and I just see her putting the finger up at me and I was just like, just kept walking. It's all right. I just kept walking and she goes, what? Then I go, oh, it's only me here. I turn around and she's looking at me. She's like, what? I'm like, what? And then she starts like walking after me. I'm like, yeah. So I'm going to get out of here before I get stabbed with some sort of needle or something. So I start walking and then there's that ticket booth where you can buy stuff at the train station. And then I take the corner and I step to the left a bit and I turn around and then she comes around the corner and then she's like, then she notices I've stopped and I'm facing her. And then she turns around and she's like, what are you saying to me? I was like to her, look, what are you going to do? Like, what are you trying to do here? And then she was like, and she just stared at me for about 30, 35 seconds.
That's a very long time.
And then I was just like, are you all right? I didn't want to keep walking and turn my back to her in case, I don't know, like what she has. And then that same train that was still waiting there was there, like it was like doors closing about it. And then she just quickly ran in. And then from behind the window, she was still like staring at me. It was very weird. And then you know, I haven't seen her since though. But there are so many new crackheads at Chester Hill.
Bro.
Get acquainted. Very, very good fun.
Obviously, we had Trent from Punchy. You know, someone who was a local and a big hit on YouTube back in the day. But outside of that, I don't know if we ever in Punchbowl at the time, growing up, had an OG that was like a regular crackhead or new crackheads that have come through the block. But then again, to be fair, I haven't caught a train since 2012, so I wouldn't.
Oh, yeah, and also you work remote like 9 days a week, so.
Yeah, exactly. I work, like, this is my work attire, like, not complaining.
Bro, there are so
many. I don't miss a train.
No, I can't stand the trains.
Yeah.
I've never caught the train up until I started working. I had never
caught a train. That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Because you live close to school at the time.
Yeah, my parents dropped me off, picked me up.
Yeah.
Very privileged. Thank you, mum and dad.
Yep.
Appreciate that. Cool. But now that I catch the, I used to catch the bus to uni. Now I catch the train to work because obviously I'm done uni.
Mm.
But bro, back when I was catching the bus, you just see the just weird, strange behavior. Like, well, one was haram. It was a bit sad, but like the bus driver was gunning it. Didn't want to give this guy away. The guy did it. He said, I don't care. You can take me out if you want to. Kept going on a roundabout.
Oh.
And then the bus driver slams his brakes. And then I was sitting, you know, so there's the first door at the front of the bus. Then there's a second door halfway up the bus.
Mm.
And then there's a seat right behind that door with the clear protector. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm.
The plastic
thingy
that's transparent. So me, he slams the bus. Boom. Bro, I sent a head. like when I tell you, bro, this headbutt. Wow, I'm surprised I didn't knock myself out. Slams the brakes. Boom, I absolutely send this plastic thing. I'm in pain. Ugh, but haram, there's a bloke more in pain than me. There was this really large fella, haram, God bless his soul. He was standing halfway up the bus, holding onto the thing.
No.
I hit my head. I open my eyes. He is at the very front in the do not stand zone. where the first door is. And his shirt is off. Somehow, amidst his tumbling rigmarole, his shirt became undone and departed from his body. And so he had that arm. And so he's shirtless with his and his backpack's on the ground, and he still has his dress pants on and his trousers on. And he scrambles to his feet, and people are helping him, and he puts his shirt back on. And bro, I'm like, I don't care that I hit my head.
Yeah, that's less your concerns.
First off, it was so worth it because the protector was there that I didn't fly forward. I just boom, and I got full observational, like full observation deck of everyone that went flying.
Heck, 3-4 minute vertigo hit as well.
Yeah, exactly. And bro, I was like, Haram, he must feel so embarrassed. But bro, that was so funny,
bro.
Sorry, bro, if you're watching this, I hope that you got a new shirt and you're doing well now.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Always have good intentions on the potty.
Yeah, it was. All those people. Always, of course. That's just cook stuff, bro.
Yeah, there's so many things out there, bro. They're just, it's messed up. So messed up.
Right, I feel like I'm telling too many stories.
No, you?
No, me never.
What? No, that stories, cuz. What? Cuz, taking a look here, all we've told you stories tonight, cuz.
Yeah, this is how. This is Bilal.
Bilal.
So, I'll say this last one, then we can move on to whatever you
and want. And then we'll wrap it up.
Bro, there was this one time. Again, same Chester Hill bus stop. Bro, don't live in Chester Hill. If you're going to buy there, don't. If you've bought there, sell. All right?
Yeah, or if you're going to go, don't go to Chester Hill station. Go to another station and do your work from there.
Yeah. 100. Yeah. Be with me. Anyway, I'm walking to the bus stop, and there's this guy who comes up to me. And he doesn't say hi. He doesn't introduce himself. He starts talking about his bike that's broken down. And so he walks up to me. I go, "You're all right?" He goes, "Oh, mate, my bike broke down. The head gasket and this and that. And the steering wheel and the steering's off. And it's on fire." Hello?
That's later.
Yeah. And he's just talking. He's like, "Oh, we're talking to my mate. He's the mechanic." And he is not blinking. Well, not that my bit. Nothing. No, he doesn't blink. And so he's captivated me now. And so I'm staring at him, and I'm like, "Yes, okay, your bike's engine blew, no worries, mate." And then the bus M91 to Para pulls up, and I go to him, "Oh, mate, look, I'm so sorry to cut you off." Said that, he kept talking. While I go, "My bus is here, I gotta go." I keep walking. I turn and I'm trying to say bye to him, and he just turns and he's still talking. Same tone. It's not like he's getting louder to accommodate for the distance that I've departed from. So like I'm at this point, I'm 5, 6, 7, 8 meters away, and he is. He has not changed tone, not changed like decibels in loudness, and so I jump on the bus and I get window seat. Of course, window seat, plane ticket. And then, bro, I look at him. You're gonna full think I'm lying. He is still looking at me, talking.
Still looking at you?
And he's looking at me, talking. And I look at him, and he's still going.
Oh.
And he's just talking.
Haram, bro.
And I just smiled at him. Like, I don't want to be.
Yeah, no. You don't be rude after you've already walked away from him and jumped on the bus and you have to go do your own thing.
I should have stayed, bro. I should have just skipped work.
I'm convinced that if you moved on or you stayed, or if 3 hours later you came back, or 8-10 hours later you've come back after work and you come back to that same spot, he'd still be talking.
Some say that he's still talking even till today.
Legend has it, he's still on the.
But yeah, basically just don't go to Chester Hill Station. Don't go to anywhere in Chester Hill for that matter. Even the El Jana, you will get food poison there.
Yeah, true story.
Yeah, just stay clear. But on a Christianity note, Nat, are you excited to preach at all night prayer meeting, mate? Or give the devotion?
Yeah, excited. First time I would be giving a devotion in a church setting. So
that's exciting.
It's not something I really do. I teach the kids, and I do my part and try to teach the kids. And I've given my testimony at the very tree last year and stuff like that. But in terms of preaching to a congregation, or giving a 10-minute, 15-minute kind of talk to adults, it's not something I commonly do. So for me, it's nerve-wracking. I'm nervous from now. It's not even not 3 weeks away, and I'm very nervous from now.
It's a good thing to be nervous about, bro.
Because I know that you've obviously recently you preached to us at Elevate. It was, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sorry if it was 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks
ago.
Yeah,
about three, 4 weeks ago. Now coming up to 4 weeks.
4 weeks, that's right. So I'm definitely excited. I feel like if I ever get to have the opportunity to do it, I'd love to do it at my home church.
Yeah.
You know, with the congregation, they can give me some feedback. I've really got a topic in mind what I want to discuss. I just got to see if it's aligned with what we're praying about in that hour.
Okay, it's not a free reign this run. It's
it could be a free reign. It could be. I would like it to alleviate to one certain topic that I've got in mind that I want to talk about, and try to tie a bit of my testimony into it.
Yeah, nice.
That's how I'm thinking. But very excited. I was stoked to have been asked. To be honest with you,
yeah.
It's a very humbling thought, because again, I haven't done it, but it's a humbling thought to be asked to. Hey, we want you to share something with our congregation as we go to pray for that hour. And it could be either to set the tone or put in a reminder, or at any point in that sort of prayer meeting slot. So it's exciting. I'm very keen. I'm very nervous, but I feel like God's put some stuff in my heart that he wants me to discuss. And even though it's 10 minutes, maybe 15, I think it's too much, but even 10 minutes, I'm really excited to just share.
That's good, bro.
But it's exciting. Yeah, definitely exciting.
I'll be there.
Yeah, very keen. Those nights at like on our prayer meeting that we do at church, and maybe with our congregation, and we're on our knees praying, and just seeing the work God's doing here and abroad, with people in our local church and in the churches that are abroad as well. It's amazing to be part of, and praying with your church family is nothing like it.
Yeah, that's true, bro. I think that if there's one thing to be nervous about, it's definitely that, because. Like to get up and obviously you don't want to speak opinion. Well, there's always a matter of opinion in these things, but like when you talk about the Bible, you have to make sure that you're like exegeting it and interpreting correctly. Mm. Otherwise, good luck, brother, when you answer to that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean? Yeah, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have some problems.
Similar like to you, for me recently, like even when they put me for the all-night prayer meeting, devotion, and then even Elevate, bro, I'm so nervous on the week leading up, because I'm like, God, please, I don't want to say anything out of line, anything that's not from you, because yeah, it's clear that obviously not many are called to preach and teach, because there's a lot, like there's greater condemnation on them if they speak out of line, but there's nothing more humbling and, you know, than being given the opportunity to go ahead and do that. So it's awesome. I think I love that Mark gave me an opportunity to speak, and I'm glad that like a couple of people found it useful. But I think that in terms of like when you bring God's word to God's people, there's only one way to preach, which is exegetically. Like, you only speak what the text says, and you don't try to get more creative than God.
That's right.
Like, you see a lot of churches these days that are like, they try to put on performances and these shows, and or they try to sub in this man-made worship, like man-centered worship, because God's word isn't sufficient. And you get these like, this man-centered service, but like, just get back to the Bible and just let God do his thing. And so I feel like in the church, and this was what was on my heart with Elevate. I know you were in there.
Yeah.
But we hear a lot like, this is the passage, this is what it means, this is how it applies to your life. But I feel like on a different note, which is very good, I feel like that's the only way to preach, 100%.
Yeah.
But there are some Christians as well, bro, young and old, like, don't get me wrong, young and old in their faith, who are still wrestling with the idea of like, well, am I certain about why I believe what I believe? You know what I mean? And so sometimes you get into this mindset where, or you watch a video like this little gotcha mic drop moment from an atheist or whoever, and you're like, oh, wait, you're right, my God is immoral, or whatever it might be. And it starts making you question, like, am I really sure about why I believe what I believe? So I just wanted to address that, because there's a sense of, there's a topic of apologetics that isn't necessarily covered in the standard style of preaching, but if you exegete the text and weave in that, like, the apologetics of it, like being able to give a reason of the text that you're exegeting, like, for example, you might have noticed that while I was going through it, I would object to myself and ask the questions that people might have that would come up naturally while they're listening. So for example, I'd be like, well, What was one of them I say? Well, what was it? Supernatural Bible requires extraordinary evidence or something.
Yeah.
Like, I'd ask that question, then I would go ahead and deal with it with the text.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like that's something that's really practical. People are like, oh yeah, I was thinking of that objection.
Yeah.
You know, whereas just breezing past it and jumping to the next verse. But I really, really enjoyed like getting up there and speaking, and I'm excited for the next one. Mark, I have caught up with Mark, not anytime soon, obviously, probably like in a couple of months.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's the method in which I want to like continue to deliver it, because I feel like Christians who have that feeling of whatever doubt feel like it's a sin to be doubting, and therefore they don't want to bring it to the attention of any other Christians because they're scared of what they might think. So it's good to address it in a group setting, especially when we're at such a point in our life that's so crucial for making those proper decisions that will have the most impact for the kingdom.
Sure.
Like Satan's completely, and the enemy, not necessarily Satan, but the enemy is completely satisfied if we're Christians, but just ineffective. Like if we stay distracted and mediocre, no problem. The bloke won't bother you. No one will bother you. You're all good. Yeah, you're not feeding into, like you're falling right within the plan of the enemy. But the whole point of this life is to get out there, do as much damage to the enemy and gain as much ground for the kingdom of God, and then die. And that's a beautiful thing, because we don't just die, we pass from death to life. So I'd say whatever, not everyone's called to be a preacher, a teacher. We're all called to have an apologia in 1 Peter 3:15, a reason for the hope that is within us.
Sure.
So ask questions, get familiar, read up on it, watch on it, know about it, because Christianity is true. And if Christianity is true, then there's nothing else that is true.
Yeah, no, it's perfectly said. What I loved about what you were saying is, like, we're talking about doubt, and there are many Christians out there that doubt what they believe, or sometimes they don't know why they believe what they believe. Purely on the basis that, oh, I grew up, this is all I know, this is what it was taught to me, that's, I'm just going to go with that as my justification as to why I believe what I believe. But every person in their life, for those, you know, who are Christians or raised in a Christian household, or even those that are of different beliefs, should know and understand why they believe what they believe. I think it's huge. I think it's so important, because we can't just go around and, you know, you being an adult and kept saying, oh, you know, I grew up, my mom and dad taught me this because I grew up like this.
Yeah.
Doesn't work like that.
No.
You know, you need to know why you believe what you believe. And I think it's so important that we do research, that we do study, that we do find out. And it's really important that we are getting into the Word. We are finding, for those that doubt, finding out why we believe what we believe, and knowing and having that full faithfulness in Christ, knowing the truth. Why we believe what we believe, and then now not just keeping it to ourselves, but sharing that. Because like you said, yeah, we've all had moments in our lives where we've doubted, and we've all had times in our lives where we've second guessed. And once you know why you believe what you believe, and we know that it's the truth, and we do know that it's the truth, and like you said, we work on here on earth, and we die, and we pass with death into life. We share that joy to others. Mm. We share why we believe what we believe. You know, Mark 16:15, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. You know, there should be a joy about it. Once we've put those doubts aside, and once we've put those doubts to bed, we then share with others the joy that is Christ, and why his death on the cross, and why he did what he did, and salvation and everything else. So, it's well said, bro. I think that's probably the best way to kind of end off the potty here tonight. But Mick, thank you for jumping on.
Pleasure. Remember, LinkedIn.
Yes.
Who even has LinkedIn? But no one has LinkedIn. And if you have it, you click on it like once every 6 months.
That's true,
honest.
Yeah.
But LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I believe my name is Michael Hanna on LinkedIn. And you'll be able to locate me there. You know what? Actually, we have a couple of openings. So head on over to the company that is in my profile that I'm currently employed at. Go to jobs and then let me know if you want to have an interview at any one of them.
Yeah, beauty. Look, if you want to find more details, you know, you can find me at Faith Baptist Church, Regents Park. Or apparently Ray just checked up my Instagram. I didn't give him the permission, so I'm going to have to sort him out at some point. It's probably been going on for a while too, but that's all right. We'll have to a little bit of a hiss on us, but look, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Remember to like and subscribe to the channel. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. If you want me as the host from now on, hey, we can do something about that, I'm sure. Ray won't be too pleased. 100%.
But and if you want me to just like kick everyone off and just run this thing, like
even better.
Just let me know.
Even like, better. Yeah, absolutely.
Send me a message. I'll do it. No worries. I'll steal all of this. No problem.
No problem.
I'll just run through with the Hilux. Like I'll get one of the boys and then I'll just load up the tray and I'll just be out of here. So yeah, just let me know. I'll happily do it.
Guys, like I said, we're very easygoing. Ray's going to hate every second of editing this show. I can already imagine. But thanks for tuning in. Enjoy. Get ready for this to be released. And once it is, stay tuned into the next Talk to Me's and the next Tell Me More's. Take it easy, guys. Be good.
Peace. Enjoy the good music unlike the previous.
Yeah, bro. It's time we change the music.